It's the business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, and our chamber host today at Chamber Headquarters at Innovate Newport is the Executive Director of the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, Erin Donovan Boyle. Erin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Bruce?
I am good. I'm good. How did the Women in Business go this morning with Krista Duran?
It was excellent. Everybody is thoroughly impressed with our local president here. She was phenomenal. Great opportunity to really hear about her story of how she rose to the president of Newport Hospital, but then also some really great, you know, feedback and insight into how we can all sort of better organize and prepare for upward mobility. So she was fantastic.
Excellent. I talked about it, and it sounds like it was a great session. Next month is going to be even more dynamic with Gail Olofsson. And she has lots and lots to tell us about the changes at the boat show. So that's going to be great on April the 4th. And so much more going on. So today you get the opportunity to speak with someone that we don't hear enough about. So I'm delighted to have you speak with your guest today.
Yes, I'm excited. So an important part of the chamber is our advocacy that we're able to do on behalf of the broader business community. And when we do those types of efforts around advocacy, it's so important for us to engage and talk with our local representatives and senators. And that's why I'm thrilled to mention that today, Representative Alex Finkelman, District 74 from Jamestown and Middletown, is here to join us and talk with us about some of his legislative priorities. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
We're thrilled that you're able to join us. And you've been a wonderful asset for us already, joining us for our Government Affairs Committee meetings, keeping us in the loop on some important legislative items that are taking place. And so today, we thought it'd be a good opportunity. Let's start by you introducing yourself to our listeners and telling folks a little bit about your background.
Absolutely. So my background, I've grown up in Rhode Island my entire life. I moved to Jamestown a handful of years ago from the Greater Providence area. And I've have a background mostly in business. So the needs of the chamber reflect deeply with who I am and what I know. So I grew up in the insurance business. It's been a family trade for several generations. I'm now the fourth generation, and I own primarily a commercial-focused insurance agency called the Aegis Insurance Group, which is in Warwick now. And what we do is we work with businesses around the state, New England, and some throughout the country, helping them with their risk management and insurance needs. And so at the State House, I try and bring that background up there with what I know to really help the business community.
Which is so important. So we have a part-time legislature, which I think any part-time legislator will argue with that part-time portion, right? It is truly a full-time job, particularly between January and July and beyond. But it is so important for us to have business representatives up there taking on those roles so that we can really have the business voice and the generation of bills that are pro-business and business-friendly and less to the contrary. So can you talk a little bit today about some of the legislative priorities that you have and some bills that you've introduced this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you took a look at the list of bills that I've been the prime sponsor on, you'd probably find about 85% of them are business focused. You know, it doesn't sit well with me that you see the rankings around the country of where Rhode Island ranks in business.
Yeah.
And we're perpetually at the bottom. And frankly, it's a conversation I've had with leadership in all sides, and it doesn't sit well with them either.
Right.
So for me, I've tried to take that experience in the insurance world and kind of hyper-focus at least these first year or so on some of the issues that I see that are, we'll call them low-hanging fruit, but things that are real problems. One of them that pertains particularly strong to Aquidneck Island in Newport is the Hospitality Association.
Okay.
So when I first got elected, I reached out to the Hospitality Association, Dale Venturini, who, congratulations on her retirement.
That's right.
To talk about the issues that restaurants and bars are having with liquor liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a rising cost, and less people want to insure bars and restaurants in Rhode Island. Now, I happen to enjoy going out to dinner or have a drink at a bar every so often, a nice beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling to stay in business because of some of these costs that they incur.
Right.
And so I've looked at different ways to reduce liability for the bars themselves or restaurants, because a lot of times they won't do anything negligent when they're serving a beer.
Sure.
And they'll get dragged into a lawsuit unfairly. Mm-hmm. I had a client years ago who served one beer at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gentleman went to several other places. Mm-hmm. They drank far too much and got in a car accident. And my client who served that one beer at 6 p.m., they had proof, they had a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
They got dragged into a six-figure lawsuit.
Wow.
And so what happens is insurance companies, of course, don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the way our laws are written in Rhode Island. So what I did is I've started to work on those laws to rewrite them.
Okay.
So the bar who has done nothing wrong doesn't get dragged into the lawsuit.
Right. So how your proposal, how does it change existing statute?
So basically it looks at what we call the Dram Shop Act.
Okay.
And it, for the most part, it really says it's not the person who served the drink.
Mm-hmm.
That caused the accident. It's the person who drank the drink.
Sure.
That caused the accident.
Right.
Now, there are some circumstances which have to be addressed, right? If you serve someone who's underage, well, that's gross negligence, right?
Sure.
That is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pouring shots down someone's throat, that is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
That is gross negligence. And you deserve to be in trouble or punished or what mm-hmm. have you for that. But for the person who served one beer at 6 p.m., in my opinion, we should protect that bar.
Sure.
And help them lower the costs.
Right.
And so that's what the legislation addresses.
Okay.
And
that was introduced this year, this
that
session?
That was introduced.
Okay.
And if I had to guess, the language of the bill still needs some tweaking.
Mm-hmm.
We still have some legalese to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we can get enough support. I know from the restaurant and hospitality community, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Great.
I've actually had a conversation recently with an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
Their concern is that the bill is too good.
Oh.
And they won't be able to charge it. Right? So
it's having the impact that you want.
I think it is mm-hmm. and it will if we can ultimately get it across the finish line.
That's great. Of course, the cost of doing business is a significant factor in why we continue to rank low as well nationally. And so this is one way to help bars and restaurants at least reduce some costs from their liability insurance.
Correct. And we look at so much, and I'm fortunate to have so many business clients that when things come up that I don't have anything to do with,
mm-hmm.
I get some good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
A lot of the conversation in the hospitality space again was about the tipped wage increase.
Yes.
Right. And that scares a lot of bars and restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get to add also another perspective that no one thought about the cost of what will happen to workers' comp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if we were to increase that tipped wage to a higher number,
mm-hmm.
their workers' comp costs would instantly go up through the roof.
Absolutely.
And the insurance companies wouldn't have enough time to readjust their rates. It would put restaurants out of business almost overnight.
Oh, wow.
So it's one of those perspectives that I try and bring to the State House that a lot of people weren't even thinking about.
Certainly. And I think a lot of business models would change if that were to go into effect.
Absolutely.
Which would really raise some uproar within the industry.
Without a doubt.
For sure.
So, you know, a lot of times it's my bills, and that was just one bill of liquor liability that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Other times it's playing defense for the business community.
I know that very well.
You know what? It's something that has to be done.
Right.
And if not, we're going to, it's hard to rank below 50 in the business rankings, but you know, we'll continue to fall.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, we appreciate your keeping an eye out on behalf of the business community, which is something we also try to do as well.
Excellent. More with Representative Alex Finkelman just ahead here in today's Business of Greater Newport here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540. It is the Business of Greater Newport every Thursday in this hour. NewportChamber.com. Our chamber host today is Executive Director Erin Donovan Boyle and her guest, Erin.
Yes, we're joined by Representative Finkelman of Jamestown and Middletown here joining us at Innovate Newport. We're thrilled to have him join us. He has an extensive business background and is representing the business interests up at the State House. So we're thrilled to have an advocate in him. We're talking a little bit about some of the bills and priorities that he has for this legislative session. And on the topic of hospitality and tourism, you have another bill that you'll be proposing that impacts local breweries.
That is correct. I filed that bill just about a week ago.
Okay.
And it's designed to allow breweries to have up to 2 satellite tap rooms.
Okay.
At different locations throughout the state of Rhode Island. Right, so it gives the breweries a way to showcase their beer. Mm-hmm. Under their current law, they would actually, if they want to open up a second location, they'd actually have to manufacture or brew the beer on
the
location.
Place.
Correct.
Right.
For the license to be active in compliance.
Okay.
So this
very limiting.
Is very limiting.
Yeah.
In wineries have similar challenges.
Okay.
In different ways that we'll look at and we can talk about. But this particular bill will allow them to open up just small tasting rooms or tap rooms. You know, a way to expand business, grow, add employees.
Grow the industry.
And the brewery industry has done a tremendous job over the last 5 to 10 years growing.
Right. Yeah, they really have. We have some great breweries right here on Aquinic Island, as you know.
Absolutely.
So anything we can do to help support and advocate, obviously we would want to be supportive.
I appreciate that. Giving any business an opportunity to grow is important.
Right. And innovative model. So not stifling the growth opportunity is what the goal of improving the business climate should be. Right?
That's it. And we talk so much about red tape.
Right.
Right. That's
right.
The buzzword that everyone likes to use. Mm-hmm. And that is true. There is red tape everywhere. Mm-hmm. But until you lose the buzzwords and focus on the minutia of what's actually going on and the reason for it, that's the only way to fix it.
You're right.
That's correct.
Well, we appreciate that. Now, have you been working with the Rhode Island Brewery Guild to help bring that forward?
Absolutely. They actually came for the State House. They were on the floor the other night.
Oh, good.
And there's a handful of bills that myself, along with some other reps, are looking to move this year.
Mm-hmm.
The taproom bill being one of them. Another one being allowing what they call more or less mini kegs.
Okay.
So breweries right now aren't allowed to sell mini kegs or backyard barbecues.
We used to call them party balls.
Exactly. There you go. So that bill, which was introduced last week, will allow them to sell those at the breweries.
Okay, great.
You know, it's simple little things.
Well, it's encouraging our community to reinvest in your local vendor. So your local business, your local brewery, your local beer maker.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
You know, instead of going to the big box stores,
right?
We don't want that. We want our small businesses to succeed, our medium-sized businesses to succeed.
That's right. And they need the capability to have multiple different types of products so that they can compete with the big guys.
And it sure would be nice for some of the breweries up north in Pawtucket to have a satellite tap room down here in Newport.
Mm, absolutely.
Right? Just a nice another venue to go to on a Saturday afternoon or just to taste their beer.
Right.
So you know about it and you're more inclined to buy it.
Right.
It's marketing. It's good business. It's everything rolled into one. That to me, and a lot of things to be up there, seem like a no brainer.
Yeah.
It just takes a lot to get, to encourage 115 people.
Yes. Sure, it certainly does.
But that's one that I'm excited about. And I'd love to see the brewers have that option.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then in the future, there may be some more coming down the pike for local vineyards.
That's right. We heard a bill that I signed on to another one that's not mine that I'm a co-sponsor on. The licensing in wineries is a very funny system.
Yes.
And there's different tiers of it, whether you grow your own grapes in the state mm-hmm. on your premise versus whether you import the grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And folks who import the grapes have a much more restrictive license as far as offering their wine locally.
Okay.
And so that presents a challenge. So that's another license that we're trying to broaden that will allow them to display their wine mm-hmm. here right on premise.
Mm.
Again, something to me that seems simple, right? Mm-hmm. If you grow your own wine or grow your own grapes, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my opinion, if you import your grapes, but you're still brewing
manufacturing,
or manufacturing the mm-hmm. wine, you should be able to display your product to Rhode Islanders.
Right. That's great. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting concept. We live in a global world where we access products and supply chain in every facet of every industry from around the world. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
I know concept. I use Amazon more than I like.
Sure. Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. you know, convenience is there and
right.
it makes for ease of doing business. But when you can support small local business
mm-hmm.
and support Rhode Island and the Rhode Island economy, that's where you can make a true impact.
Even if they source some of their products outside of the state.
That's right.
Yes.
You know what? They still have employees here. They still have people here that they're putting to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve to be supported.
Excellent. So we'll keep an eye out for that one as well. Now you have a couple of other bills that directly impact the business community. What's this one related to junk fees? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So, you know, the junk fee is a bill which hasn't been introduced yet. So we're working on the final language of it with one of my counterparts on the Senate side. It was actually something he came up with that he introduced to me. That's really more of a consumer protection bill than, per se, directed right at businesses.
Okay.
But from a consumer standpoint, everyone hates when they go to Ticketmaster or StubHub and they try and buy a concert ticket or whatever ticket they're trying to have, a sporting event, and mm-hmm. it says, you know, $100, and all of a sudden you go to checkout, and there's $50 here, $35 there, and a whole bunch of other fees that you didn't expect.
Okay.
So the goal of that bill will be to limit what we're referring to as junk fees.
Okay.
Have perhaps better disclosure so you know what you're getting right up front versus hitting you on the back end of it when you're finally going to checkout.
Got it. Okay.
So, you know, it's not necessarily a true business thing, as I said, but hopefully something that will provide some positivity for the state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. Great. And one other bill that you mentioned and we saw come down the pike was related to pre and post judgment interest.
That's an interesting
one. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that one.
The lawyers of the world don't love this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of conversations in, full disclosure, my wife has been a practicing attorney.
Okay.
So I get to talk about.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
this makes for interesting conversation over dinner.
Dinner is always fun while the kids are yelling in the background. But in Rhode Island, one of the challenges we have, and it kind of goes back to that liquor liability issue
mm-hmm.
and our liability laws in general.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rhode Island, if, for example, you kick someone had a slip and fall at a premises or business premises, there are two things that occur. One is a lawsuit may not have to be filed until the statute of limitation occurs. Many times it can be up to 3 years, mm-hmm. many times sometimes more. And in that time, Rhode Island's law says that interest will start piling up from the day you were injured. Not the day you're reported, So the business doesn't even know that they've had an incident occur, perhaps. And there's 12% interest adding up on the final judgment that could be ruled against that business.
Annually. That's crazy.
That's correct. In most states, it's 6%.
Right.
So we're twice the annual limit. On top of that, our law states that it's from the date of injury, not the date of report. So it's not really fair to businesses where they might not even know a claim's occurring.
Right.
This interest is adding up against them. And it's kind of delaying that legal process.
Where does the 12% come from? It's not related to inflation.
I believe it was put in many, many years ago.
Okay, right.
And, you know, many years ago, people do forget that interest rates weren't like they are now.
Right.
Like, right now, we have high, quote-unquote, high interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the 80s and 90s, actually, our interest rates aren't that high
in comparison.
Right. So I believe it was one of those errors where we had extremely high interest rates that was implemented.
So that was the standard back then when it was implemented.
It didn't seem so bad.
Right, versus the cost of living. So, you know, if somebody falls and gets hurt and they have a lawsuit, they go for damages related to their injury, their time out of work, the medical expenditures. But, you know, you're not getting a 12% raise every year. You're not.
That's right.
And costs for services theoretically aren't going up 12% every year.
That's right.
A couple years ago, maybe. Not every year.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So this bill would limit
that. It's a course
that.
Correction.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a course correction. And again, it'll back to my background. Right.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And it's probably counterintuitive to myself, right? Mm-hmm. Lower insurance costs means my firm makes less money.
Mm-hmm.
But what's right is right.
Right.
And helping small business, helping business in general, and helping Rhode Island move up the ranks instead of down the ranks of a business-friendly state is what's important.
It's the business of Greater Newport, Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce, newportchamber.com, and Executive Director Erin Donovan Boyle. We're having a great discussion with Representative Alex Finkelman, and we'll continue. Go ahead.
We are. I'm thrilled to have this conversation with the representative, and again, for him to be keeping his eye out on legislation that impacts the broader business community has been such a tremendous asset for our local business community. We were just talking about and wrapping up some of the bills that the rep has introduced and is supporting himself this session. But you also serve on a couple of other key committees, the Small Business Committee and Cooperations Committee. Can you talk a little bit about why you chose those committees and some highlights from this session so far?
Absolutely. They were pretty simple committees for me to choose based on my background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, small business is just what it says, small business. Mm-hmm. And corporations is really, I don't want to call big business, but they're all mostly business-related bills, whether they're autobot-related bills or insurance bills or energy bills. Our solar bills, they all come to the Corporations Committee.
Okay.
And we always get interesting ones throughout the years. But this year, we were happy to codify the take-it-outside bill for the restaurants, bring back to the hospitality industry.
Wonderful.
So hopefully that'll be a nice thing for in perpetuity.
Yeah. And that, so for those listening, that enables, businesses and restaurants to actually have sidewalk dining.
That's correct.
And so it was introduced during COVID to get people businesses back open and people back outside feeling comfortable. But in the course of that, we realized people really like to dine outside, and
right.
and we have a limited season, so why not enhance the dining opportunities and experiences?
That's right, and a lot of these restaurants and businesses invested significant money in tents and igloos,
that's
or
right.
whatever it may be, and our law continued to sunset year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And if we didn't either continue it or put it into law in perpetuity, all that investment that they made in their businesses would have been all for naught.
That's right.
And so I was happy to see that one make it through the finish line.
Yeah, that's fantastic and very exciting. Huge local economic impact throughout all of Newport County here. Now, one more thing I think that we should probably talk about. So certainly you serve on the Small Business Committee, but one of the largest roles of government is, you know, supporting our infrastructure for residents and citizens, but also for commerce to take place. One big impact lately we've all seen in the news was certainly, you know, the Washington Bridge, lane closures, long-term impact. I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about that. But then also, you know, we experienced some of our own delays down here with the planned maintenance on the Pell Bridge. It significantly impacts Jamestown in particular. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And no good interview. We don't have this year in 2024. We don't talk about the Washington Bridge. But we do see it down here on Aquidneck Island. When I drop my kids off at school and go to work, I see the Pell Bridge quite backed up. And I see people even cutting through Jamestown to try and save a little bit of time. And the backup and the delays are truly hurting our businesses throughout the state. So I'll share with you, I got a call yesterday from someone I've known for years. He's a podiatrist. Mm-hmm. And his office is right on the side of the island. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what he shared with me is his revenue year over year is about 20 to 30% down.
Wow.
And he's getting consistent cancellations.
Yeah.
Of people who are on their way, they call up and say, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was actually taken aback by that. You know, I said to him, I said, it's not like you're a spa and someone's canceling their massage appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, people are not only, they're foregoing their medical care.
Right.
Right. So.
And this is on the heels of, you know, 3 years of. Putting medical care off, right?
Correct.
After. So it's even more significant.
Correct. And so if to me, if they're canceling their medical care, what is that doing to the massage, the spa,
business,
the small retail mom and pop? They're probably turning to Amazon again,
yeah.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that the governor is doing everything he can and our leadership to move it along. It's a very, very tough situation that was unfortunately inherited.
Right.
But that being said, it's a tough situation. It's going to hurt business. And there's no way around that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we certainly, you know, our hearts go out to the East Bay, especially from the small business community who, you know, are so reliant on every, you know, every piece of foot traffic they can get. And certainly we feel it here too on Aquidneck Island with the maintenance. I will say kudos to Lori Silveri and her team at RITBA for making sure that we don't run into any long-term significant issues and for trying to wrap up this construction over the course of the off season. But certainly commute times have been extended and do have an impact on local workforce and delivery of services.
I got afraid I was going to miss this interview coming over the bridge this morning.
Right.
And there's just no planning for it. And unfortunately, with the construction on the Pell Bridge, it was obviously planned well before.
Absolutely.
What I'll call a disaster of the Washington Bridge.
Right. It just, the timing.
It was just feels unfortunate.
Awful,
yeah.
Right?
I know Lori is working hard to shift things to ease the burden, again, with the leadership and
that's
the governor.
Right.
But it's still a long road ahead,
yeah.
No pun intended.
Right. And hopefully the maintenance will be wrapped up fairly soon here on the Pell Bridge. But anything that we can do at the legislature or to continue to advocate for opportunities for the small business community in the spirit of what you did with the Take It Outside, right? It is certainly something that we would be super supportive of statewide, but certainly anything we can do down here as well.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of leave you with a couple of things. Number one is, like I said earlier, micro ideas are good, right? Because we all want to cut red tape. But reaching out to whether it's me or your someone else, that another elected official, share that idea mm-hmm. with your elected official. We don't have all the ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some, other people have others. Mm-hmm. But even little things that they think will help move Rhode Island in the right direction, that's important.
That's great.
And the other thing that I would share, which is, in my opinion, very important, is if we see legislation coming about that we want to play defense on, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to show up to the state house when it's here in time, but send an email. It means a lot. The reps and senators and the leadership and the speaker, who does a wonderful job, they read everything. And that is a significant factor of whether a bill goes forward or doesn't get moved. And so every business owner, every employee, if there's something, send an email. Give your thought, say, I oppose this or I support this, because it will help that bill get over the finish line.
I really appreciate that. That's a great message to end on today. Get involved. If you have an idea or a concern, reach out to your local rep or senator. Certainly reach out to the chamber as well. I just want to thank you, Rep, for joining us today. Really appreciate the in-depth conversation about some of your priorities. It's great to hear that you are keeping your eye out for the broader business community while you're up there at the State House. And look forward to continuing the conversations. And please don't be a stranger. Reach out with any questions or let us know how we can support you.
Absolutely. Just, you know, continue to feed ideas and support the business community. And I'll do what I can to help.
Appreciate that. For those who want to reach out to you directly, do you have an email address you can share?
You certainly can reach out. The easiest one is Alex, A-L-E-X, at aegisgroup, aegisgroup.com.
An excellent local business. Thank you, Rep. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well.
In the business of Greater Newport, newportchamber.com.